What's up, everybody? Thanks again for stopping by for another edition of March 4th with Mike Bauman. I, of course, am your host, Mike Bauman. Whoever you are, wherever you are listening from, thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you're a returning listener, I greatly appreciate your continued love and support. And if you're a brand new listener of the show, man, thank you so much for hopping aboard that pirate ship. You can follow me on Instagram at March 4th Pod, on YouTube at March 4th Pod. You can catch me over there on the TikTok now at March 4th Podcast. All the links to my stuff are in the podcast description for this episode. So that means if you made it here, kids, then you found me somehow. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you checking out another edition of the March 4th with Mike Bauman Podcast. As this episode hits your eardrums, I will officially be 36 years young.
You see what I did there?
No, I'm a big goofball, folks. But yeah, as this episode hits y'all, I will have celebrated my 36th birthday and will have had a chance to have gone home for a few days and decompress and spend some time with some family and my niece and my nephew, who I love and miss very, very much. Shout out Luke and Aubrey. And yeah, man, it's just, you know, I'm not one of these people that makes a big deal out of my birthday where it's like, it's my birthday week, woo, you know, but I'm also not one of these people where I'm like, it's just another year, dude. Life sucks and then you die, you know, everything after 21, man, you're just a year closer to the grave. I'm not one of those people either, but I am one of these people that I'm a pretty introspective cat. So, you know, with every year where you turn over a new leaf and you start a new chapter, as it were, I get a little reflective. And especially right now, you guys can't see it, but I'm in my studio/dining room. And one really cool thing about my apartment, and this might sound cheesy, but it might sound cool to some of y'all who are into architecture and stuff out there, is that my place gets a lot of natural light, man. You know, I don't have a lot, and that's fine because I'm not all about the Benjamins at the end of the day. Like, I want to get paid what I'm worth. Let's not get it twisted, all right? But I live modestly. And, you know, one thing I really love about my apartment that I loved from the moment I moved in it, and I've lived in the same place ever since I came to the Music City. I'm not going to give you my exact location because I am a masked vigilante who fights crime at night. And the whereabouts of where I lay my head need to remain unknown, okay? Because there's a lot of crooks out there. I don't really like me when they throw up the old bat signal. You know what I'm saying? I'm so cheesy. But anyway, what I really like about my place, I promise you, I'll get to the thing here in a second, is I do get a lot of natural light in here. And especially, you know, as we hit springtime, the late afternoon is really cool in my living room. And because I've been here for so long, my unit isn't super modernized. Whereas now I think there's a lot of like that grays are really big, or gray tones on walls. And personally, I don't like it. I love gray as a color. It's one of my favorite colors. I love wearing it. I have gray shoes. I have gray shirts. Don't like it on walls. It's depressing and sad to me, and it makes the room smaller. And I don't like that. And so I still have like the beigey kind of eggshell white walls with a lighter brown carpet. And I'm telling you, man, when the sun comes in here with the artwork that I have on my walls and sort of the feng shui of how I have my living room set up, it's pretty awesome, man. It's these sleepy Sundays, and I usually get a little reflective on Sundays, and sometimes I get a little sad. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's like the start of the work week and stuff. But I get reflective, and I'm a little extra reflective now as I you know, turn the page on another year here on this planet, another trip around the sun. But I'm also really grateful, man. I'm grateful for the things that I do have. I feel like so many of us today, myself included, you know, I'm guilty of it too. We live in this age of comparison, and, you know, social media has brought me a lot of awesome people for this show and has connected me with a lot of awesome, you know, people out there, man. A couple of them you're about to hear about here pretty soon as I show my big yapper. Shout out Chris Farley. But, you know, a lot of us get caught up in that comparison game, and a lot of the stuff we're looking at isn't even real. It's curated images and curated content for these companies that are just trying to sell you something. But people will look at that and go, oh man, I need that. I need that car. I need those shoes. I need that house. I need that girlfriend. I need that boyfriend. I need those clothes, right? I need that guitar. And, you know, I guess the short answer would be, you know, are you where you thought you would be at 36? And the short answer would be no, you know, because if you would ask 8-year-old me, I'd have been like, oh yeah, dude, I'm probably married with like a house and a 2-car garage and, you know, 2.5 kids and a golden retriever named Buckaroo, you know, because that's the bill of goods you get sold when you're younger, right? The American dream, as it were. And then you get older and you realize nobody has it figured out. And then the follow-up question would be, are you happy where you are at 36 years old? And the answer is unequivocally yes. I'm not where I thought I'd be, man, but I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And in this moment, I have a lot of peace in that. As I look at a picture of my grandma, my grandpa, rest in peace, and the role they played in my life, I keep them by spiritually and physically wherever I go. Wear my grandfather's necklace every day, and I have since he passed in 2011. And so as I record the intro to this week's show, having had another year around the sun, sitting here in my cozy apartment as the sun sets in my Zen den, man, and I record these podcasts and I reflect on, you know, these last, you know, 3 years of my life in particular, which have been filled with, you know, a lot of different emotions and a lot of changes and a lot of darkness. But all of those things have made me a stronger, kinder, and I would say, you know, more capable human being. You know, I got hit with a few things that I didn't see coming. And I don't say that as a victim. That's life, you know, heartbreak, death in particular, and they're part of life. None of us get out of this thing alive. And most of us, you know, don't end up walking down the aisle with the same person that we met when we were teenagers or whatever. I think at some point or another, it's just part of it. You know, heartbreak is going to be part of the equation for most of us out here, you know, putting ourselves out there, right? You know, but all those things and the manner in which they all kind of came about really, really changed me, man. And I think one of the most beautiful things that's come out of it, though, is that it cleared a lot of room for me to do these shows, for me to bring you guys these podcasts, for me to really work on something that was part of myself that I had turned off for a long time in terms of doing these conversations and reaching out to people and, you know, trying to put out content that creates a positive ripple effect, you know, through music, through love, through light, through positivity, through discussing the darker things that help make us stronger, which is what we do a lot on this show. So a long way of saying that as I, you know, start another trip around the sun, after my birthday, March 4th, I'm really grateful, man. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for the ones who have stuck by me and who have continued to show me the love and support and words of encouragement, giving me the tough love that I needed at times. You know, everybody who's rocking with me, man, friends, family, y'all know who you are. I love you all very, very much. And I love all you listening and tuning in too, man, because we're on this trip together. And it's cool to make positive changes one small ripple effect at a time. And, you know, put something out into the universe that I'm proud of, that I'm really excited to leave behind and share with you all, man. So thank you so much. And speaking of putting positive out into the universe and making art that you're proud of, this week's guests are a couple of really good dudes. One of them is a return guest. It's always nice when people want to come back. And the other one is a guy I met for the first time. They are none other than Sean Fitz and Ryan Kinley. Sean Fitz and Ryan Kinley are both professional musicians. Ryan, you guys may know from his awesome band, Matchbook Romance. And Sean is a guy who you guys might know from his work on the road with the band Otherwise. And beyond that, you might know him from his singles that he's been pumping out. He was actually on here recently, just a few months back, with his single Halo. And that was the first time we got in touch. And we had a really good conversation, man. So I don't want to give too much away, especially since this one's a little bit more of a lengthy intro because I was very introspective today. But yeah, Sean's a return guest of the pod. He's a guy who found me out there on social media, right? So again, it's cool to be able to connect with people, and it's cool to be making enough noise in a good way that people are finding you. And we had a great conversation the first time around about the success that he's had in the music industry as a young dude, the hard work that he's putting in, you know, both making his own music and being a hired gun, like I said, with Otherwise. And, you know, this week's episode focuses a little bit on the single Ammo, which just dropped on February 2nd, and that features the aforementioned Ryan Kenley as well as Shane Gann. But more so on this episode, Ryan and Sean and myself talk about what it's like to be a professional musician. You know, as you guys will hear, Ryan works on cruise ships. Like I said, the aforementioned matchbook romance. Excuse me, got a little tongue tied there. Probably need a sip of water. But, you know, we talk about the success that he had with Matchbook Romance and what that world was like as a guy in his 20s, you know, coming out of New York. And we also talk a little bit about Shiprocked and what that was like with Sean and his friends on that recent trip. If you guys had seen any of the stuff going on with that with social media, everything's cool. Everybody's good. But also we talk about what it's like being a professional musician today, what it's been like to chase their dreams, how they came into contact with one another, the role that video games played, and one in particular in that connection. And just, again, what it's like to be a hired gun and somebody chasing down your art and making a living from your art and both the ups and downs that come with that. So really all things tied in with the theme of perseverance and moving forward on the show. And Ryan and I actually discovered that we were in the same place at the same time before and didn't even know it before, you know, we actually talked and met digitally on this show. So without further ado, I'm going to shut my big yapper and give you guys my conversation with Sean Fitz and Ryan Kenley. Here it is. Well, Sean, Ryan, thanks again, dudes, for taking the time to come on the podcast, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
Dude, my pleasure.
Now we're rolling for real.
Star, man. The creepy robot lady lets everybody know what's up in these AI times we're living in. Well, before we officially get rolling, since we've got multiple guests on the pod today, why don't you let the folks know your name and what you play, maybe a quick background on what you do. That way, when you speak, they know who's talking.
Cool. I'm Sean Fitz. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm a alternative artist.
Sick. I'm Ryan Kenley. Been playing bass now, I don't know, like 20-ish years professionally. Originally out of Poughkeepsie, New York area. People might know me from my original band, Matchbook Romance. And been down here in Nashville playing for hire about a little over 10 years now. So been all around the world in half that time. I've mostly been working on cruise ships lately, playing music. But yeah, been out of Nashville for about 10 years now.
Right on, man. Yeah, I've been down here in Nashville since 2015. So yeah, we are right around the same time. It's ballooned since then. It's crazy how much the city has changed since then.
It really is wild. And as I'm sure we'll talk about through this, I didn't realize certain things until recently, where I broke my ankle last year in 2023 and had to go to the doctor a lot. And I've come to find out that one of the last things to catch up to the growth of the city is actually our hospital system. Like when the city really blew up, like around when both of us moved here, like, you know, it's still not to the point. Like, they just moved my physical therapy office to a different building in Nashville so that they can make more hospital beds in the main hospital facility. It's nuts. It's changing so much.
Oh yeah, it's wild, man. Yeah, my day job is in healthcare, and even like you know, freestanding ERs and things like that are popping up because, you know, so many people are coming here and they're trying to put stuff in locations where it's more accessible to people. You know what I mean? It's wild. It's wild. But it's cool from like a musical standpoint. Obviously, like I was joking about before the jump, like when I moved here, I thought everything was just country music and everything, you know, and that's what's so cool. Like you said, got, you know, guys like yourself recording with people professionally. And so I feel like that's a good place to start as far as how you and Sean linked up. Cause Sean's a return guest to the show, and we've got fellow Midwest roots, but I also feel like being from New York too, there's a lot of blue collar work ethic and mentality there too. So Ryan, do you want to give the people a little background about how you got started in music?
Yeah, I mean, like growing up, 90s teenage kid, like playing in and out of high school bands and stuff like that. Eventually, I crossed paths with Andrew Jordan, who became the lead singer of Matchbook Romance. He and I went through a couple of different bands. I don't know, maybe three before it became the lineup that became Matchbook Romance. And when our drummer had joined the band, incidentally, his childhood friends were the owners, Richard and Stephanie, of Drive Thru Records. And his like absolute best friend went through high school with is their first cousin, this guy, Dave Worthley. And we got a lot of really good consulting advice and met a lot of really cool people through them. They were interested in helping Aaron do what Aaron wanted to do, whether or not they were interested in signing us. And it was like year 2000, 2001, like, so long ago. But Epitaph Records eventually discovered us off. We were trying to be like ghetto marketing schemes. This was when Lars Ulrich was suing Napster.
Oh,
So we were uploading our own music onto Napster, trying to get noticed by people all across the country.
man.
This is before streaming exists. This is like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
there's like two or three websites to pirate MP3s from.
Wasn't there a p3.com was one of them, I think.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of really random ones. But we specifically were like uploading our own stuff to Napster religiously. And it somehow got us like enough attention that we got, I think it was punknews.org was the first website that posted like the band's dropping a, unsigned EP. Here's the first track off of it. And Brett from Epitaph Records, Brett Gurewitz, he heard it. Like what he like used to read that website like it was like his morning coffee ritual, and he was like, "What's this?" And then he was like, "Yeah, I like that. That's cool." And we ended up getting signed to Epitaph. We had a real good ride for like a solid 6 years. People best know us probably from our song "Monsters" being in Guitar Hero 3. So I still meeting today in Nashville
I'm
back to like
in.
Belmont kids and stuff that are like, yo, man, that's my shit. I play the hell out of that game. It's pretty
You
wild.
can still play it at Dave and Buster's.
Bro, don't play with me. We'll lose, man. I can't play. I can't beat my own bass line, bro. It's bad.
Well, that's cool, man, and there's a link there too, because when Sean and I first talked, Sean, I remember you mentioning how Guitar Hero like introduced you to a lot of music when
Yeah,
you
that's
first.
how I like got in the music in general was through these fucking video games. Like that was the beginning of it. That's what sparked the interest, 'cause I didn't have like family that were really like musicians, or people around me that were musicians. So
Funny like
having
video games kind of became the thing, dude. Like the Madden,
Oh yeah.
the Tony Hawk soundtracks, all those were like oh.
Yeah, Madden, like 2007 to 2012, like that, all those bangers in there.
I know, dude. I loved those soundtracks. We were stoked. I think we're in Madden 07. I can't remember which one we got in. We were like freaking out. I didn't play video games too much, but we used to like put the Giants on and crush and listen to our own songs.
Yeah, dude, those video
Crazy.
games were, they were like I think they were to alternative and like punk rock and even metal and metalcore bands in that kind of those early aughts, the way that movie soundtracks were in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause I remember like didn't Scream had a really cool horror movie soundtrack, and then in the early 2000s too, Freddy vs. Jason had like El Nino on it, and like,
Yeah.
those video games and the people who were doing the music placements, man, it's like they obviously were music fans, so that's really cool. It's a
Yeah, there
great.
was a lot of like good picks during a select year, couple years in there, where every video game soundtrack was just like solid.
Yeah, because I remember one of the Maddens, their Bullet for my Valentine. I think that was the first time I heard Bullet was on Madden, and like
The Bravery, that's
Avenged had the Bravery,
Bravery.
Avenged had City of Evil. That soundtrack or that album when that came out was blowing up. I think it might have been Madden 05 or 06, but it was like, yeah, Bullet was on there, and
Avenged Sevenfold in video games like went very fucking far.
or
They
maybe I'm confusing
saw
it with NHL 06, but yeah, that whole EA Sports, man, was really pumping out a lot of stuff.
I wish we were
Which
got off of NHL. That because I'm a hockey dude, so I would have
way?
freaked out. I would have been like, we're on the NHL soundtrack. But it's funny because like the video game uprise was right as like comps were on the decline. It's
Yeah, totally.
almost like they replaced like there'd be like the Vans Warped Tour comp that everyone would buy, and be like, this is all the new bands I need to know this year. And instead, you didn't have to get a comp. The soundtrack was just on the video game you were already going to play.
Right.
It was legit.
So then how did you guys eventually link up? Because obviously for people listening to this, go check out the new single Ammo, which just came out at the beginning of February. But how did you guys link up? Because I know Sean, this was a couple of years ago, right?
I think I looked it up before this because I wanted to see when I originally wrote the song, which was in probably the end of the summer 2022. And then I messaged you for the first time, which was just a cold message
Yeah.
in November 1st, 2022. So that was over a year ago at this point. A little
Damn, that
more.
makes sense. I had just gotten off a cruise ship contract. Yeah, so that
Yeah.
lines up.
This was before you busted your foot and everything.
Yeah, before I became Clubfoot Kinley.
So how did you guys find each other? Sean, was it just you being like being an
I was,
audiophile?
yeah, it was totally that. I was just trying to connect with artists that inspired me when I was, I mean, like I said, playing Monsters a couple hundred times in Guitar Hero 3. When I circle back to the nostalgia, I'm like, oh shit, I need to like reach out to some people and like, because now we can write music, now I know how to make music.
And technology is so cool.
Technology is awesome.
Bro, I was recording bass tracks from a cruise ship and sending them back to like, this is my studio here that I own with my roommate. And I had like just like a Focusrite with me. And I
Yeah.
would dip into port because the cruise ship Wi-Fi, you know this, Sean,
Oh,
you
it's
don't cruise ships.
terrible.
They'll be like, yeah, man, it's awesome. And then
It's a
the cruise ship
premium package.
Wi-Fi, budget, man. It never, like, I could never download files. You'd find me at some like crappy bar that's like burgers and free Wi-Fi, downloading files. I'd record in the middle of the ocean at night after I perform, and then like email tracks off to people at this point the next day.
Dude, for instance, Mike, I those TikTok videos I put up took
Yeah.
like 40 minutes to upload. It's like this shit is so small, but the Wi-Fi is so bad because you're just in the middle of nowhere, and it's supposed to be like Starlink or something like that. That Elon internet.
The worst I've ever seen, though, is I've done what was considered like a Viking voyage recreated, where it's like we left Copenhagen, Denmark, and did like Amsterdam, Germany, Norway. And then it was like, let's go to Greenland, let's go to Iceland, and let's cross over to Canada. And it's like we were so far north up on the globe that most of the ships are positioned around the equator, and the system that they used, like we would just be like, there's no Wi-Fi today.
Damn.
Like you'd be on like a sea day traveling to Iceland, and it would be like, yeah, we just don't get Wi-Fi here for the whole day.
Another
I'd be
dimension
like,
there.
what deadline?
What do you do like when you're not playing? 'Cause like on a cruise, even me going as like a vacation, I'm bored with all these
Man.
things to do. Like I can only imagine like I don't know, on tour I find some shit to do and wander around with, but being stuck every day in your cabin.
I mean, it is what you want to make of it. I tend to get up and get the hell off the ship during the day, especially if it's a country I haven't. I know people that are like, man, I don't want to go. It's just a beach in the Caribbean. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll see you later. And then I go to the beach. If no one wants to come, I'll go by my damn self. I'm a grown up, you know? Like, I live my life, but like, we have all kinds of stupid crap and routines you get into. And since I go out into the port, you know how like all aboard's usually like in the late afternoon, early evening. I usually get a nap in, then I go rock that buffet for dinner. And then I start performing 7:45-ish, 8:15-ish, depending on the port the night. So like, and then I'm playing till about midnight. And then go hit the officers bar with my friends, back of house, crew members.
Nice.
Go sing karaoke with Filipino people and stuff like that.
So you play at like the band in the middle of the cruise ship, kind of like the
So
casino or something.
the ships that I've worked on has a thing called Music Walk, where on our deck, it's like coming from the center of the ship. There's a bar, and then there's the BB King's Blues Band at Sea, which is its own venue with some stores on the other side. And then you walk in through like glass open doors, and it's our venue to the right, and to the left, it'll be this dueling piano setup. And it's us as the three themed things, plus the main stage in the very front of the ship on that same deck. Becomes Music Walk, and we're all kind of themed where like someone kicks it off first and they kind of coincide with the timing of things. Like we all play 45-minute sets. Us and the dueling pianos are, if we start at 8:15, they start at 9, right when we finish, and it's like back and forth. So it's a weird thing, but it works.
He
It
just keeps the music going the whole time.
And it keeps it like there's something for everyone. You know
Yeah.
how like, well, have you ever been on a cruise?
Not
Like
the
other
not
than the rock cruises?
only the rock cruises.
Bro, the main stage, mind you, I work on Holland America. It's for like 70-year-olds plus. Like my dad's young and he's 73. When he came on the ship, he was like the young guy. There'll be like Richie Valens show or an Elvis impersonator on the main stage. And then the dueling pianos will do like, anything themed. Like, here's a country set tonight. Here's the 50s. Here's a doo-wop show. They do anything from like the 40s all the way up to today. I'm in a classic rock cover band, and there's a R&B funk band on the ship. So it's like a lot of stuff going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's like a music buffet for sure.
It's hysterical.
I'm sure, man, you see a lot of different people too, man. Cruise ships like that, you see just the breadth of. I've never been on a cruise, but I can only imagine, especially something like that. But it kind of makes sense, right? If it's geared towards older people, they're going to have music from their era, like when they were, spry, and running around. Have you
Like
ever cruise ship
my
ever
band will
run
play
into
the Foo
spears?
Fighters, and then we'll play like Born to Be Wild. And they'll lose it for Born to Be Wild.
Sean, you just did Shiprocked. Like we were talking about that too. And Ryan, it was funny because I saw Sean post a story on Instagram and I liked it because he's like, oh, never leaving Jamaica. And I thought it was like, oh, it's just so beautiful here that he's just like, yeah, this is so dope. I never want to go back home. I get that. I've had that vacation feeling. And then I started to see more stuff from like other outlets. I can't remember if it was like Rockfeed or whoever. And it was like,
And all the rock tabloids.
yeah, the ship hit something and like took on water or whatever. Like what? So Sean, what was that like? Did that happen like the first day?
It was okay, so the first day was delayed because of rain anyway. So it was just the sea day that was supposed to be a island day. And then it was like the second day that we gunned it to Jamaica because Jamaica is like the farthest we were going. So we go over there, and they told this is on a Carnival cruise too. So I will say that I'm not trying to talk too much shit about Shiprock since there are a lot of homies with them, but my understanding is that they told them not to port the boat at all, and they did it anyway because I don't know, because they thought they could. And yeah, the boat like totally knocked that dock out of commission. So we basically cut the
Yeah,
tourism to that part of
the
Jamaica.
gangway.
Yeah. The gangway, yeah.
That's what they call it, the gangway.
Yeah, I guess a couple people in our group went on an ATV excursion that day, and it was like kind of sketchy when they got there, and they wanted them to take out all their like IDs and passports and leave them somewhere while they went on the excursion. So everybody in my group went back to the boat, and as they were going back to the boat, they were the last ones on before it was knocking so hard against the dock that they were like, yeah, no, we're done.
It was just the wind, right?
It was the wind and the current. The current was bad. I mean, the
Yeah,
wind
because
was
the
free.
wind drives the current, pushes the
Yeah.
ship in.
Yeah, it was, and like he was the guy was like fighting it for like 45 minutes to even get off the dock. Like that's
Wow.
how strong it was. But yeah, that dock's out of commission now. And we had to go back for 2,500 people like 8 hours later. But you know, we watched it from the
I
buffet.
saw your video where it's like, this is not a drill.
Dude, I know. Yeah, you never see that on the cruises you go on?
I've seen some wild stuff, man.
Yeah.
I've seen a woman be helicopter lifted off and be brought back.
Brought back?
Brought back to dry land. Like
Oh
whatever port we were in was closer and to where we were going. And a medical helicopter showed up. This old senior woman, I guess she doesn't have very good eyesight. She thought she was getting the glue for her fake eyelashes. She grabbed the thing, super glue. Brothers, I am not kidding when I say she super glued her eyeballs shut. And like, picture like trying to put, like, especially because we're guys, this is hysterical. Like, let me put my fake eyelashes on. Imagine like if you just mess it up a little bit, but it's super glue, and now like your eye is like with it's like messed up eyelashes, and it's all glued shut. They had to take that woman off. We watched her husband be like, bye, like as she's being lifted off the ship, bro. I've seen all kinds of stuff on those cruise ships. I've been on stage when they have to make announcements, and if it's like a certain security level announcement, it turns our PA system off.
Yeah, I
So we'll
that
be
was
like
happening a lot.
rocking, and then it's just like dead stop, and all you hear is some acoustic drums for a second. And it's like, then we just like fizzle out and be like, okay. Like,
Wow. That's wild
it's
how
so
they
weird,
make
man.
announcements on there where when they just cut everything.
Every now and then, like there'll be, I mean, every now and then is more like you wouldn't believe how frequently stuff like that happens. I guarantee you, if you go on a, like a 7-day cruise as a passenger and you have nothing to do other than vacation and party, you will come across like someone slipped and fell and they have to make an announcement and get medical staff there. When it's all like 75-year-olds that might slip and fall, it gets way more hysterical. Like, it just embarrassed. Like, I didn't mean to fall, Frank. Like, it's a good time.
Well, people are just getting blinded out of their minds out on those things too, between like the buffet and the booze cruises. Like they're just letting loose, man.
Oh
A
yeah.
drink package is 15 drinks per day.
Yeah,
That is
that's
wild.
a couple
And it's like,
different.
that's not per couple. That's like you, if you get it, you and your wife have to get it. So now you have 30 drinks to consume.
Yeah.
I've seen some people go for it.
That's wild. That is wild.
They don't offer the drink package on the Shiprock cruise though, because we drink too much. It
Yeah.
would be going through that like nothing. They would be running out of alcohol if they offered that. They're already running out of alcohol. They ran out of High Noons, so I had to drink Coronas.
There you go.
Man,
I
Wow.
wonder
There you
if
go. something stupid up with that with the shipping industry where they really legitimately couldn't get it. I've done the Atlantic crossing where you cross like Florida all the way to Amsterdam
Damn.
and you run out of stuff in the middle of the ocean where it's just like, that's it.
How long does it take?
Like a week.
Okay.
Usually go like 6 days at sea. And then stop at the Azores, which is an island system Portugal owns off the coast of Europe. And then it's like another day and a half at sea to get to Europe. And that's what we had just done right before I broke my ankle on the cruise ship. We literally had gone from Florida to the
Oh
Azores.
yeah, I don't think you said that you actually broke it on the cruise ship.
Yeah, I don't like to say I broke my foot. Somebody else broke my foot. I mean, it is what it is. People having fun, goofing around, and someone wanted to jump on my back thinking they were funny as hell. And that's a horrible idea when you're on any size moving ship. It didn't go well.
You doing all right now?
We'll see. So it's been 10 months this weekend. I got a bone infection that set in like 4 weeks into the initial heal.
Yeah.
And I had to months, like nine, like 8 months of antibiotics. So it looks like we beat the infection. And my next follow-up is March with the doctor. Like right now, I'm just in like a little lace-up boot.
Yeah.
So like a couple of weeks ago, I was on a knee scooter and crutches, man.
Yeah. That's crazy that it's been that long. I feel like you were, this had happened like so long ago now, you know?
Dude, it
I'm
feels
sure
like a
you feel the
lifetime.
same way. Yeah.
Like, if I didn't get the bone infection, I probably would have been like back and I probably would have been like, probably would have spent the whole rest of the winter and fall working, you know?
Yeah.
I probably would have been back on the cruise ship, but oh well.
This is going to sound random, but since we're both in Nashville, about a month ago, were you at a show at the end or no?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think, would that be like Strike Lightning performed and one of
Nation.
the dudes that's in oh my God, what's the not the guys in Not Your Nails, but
Yeah, Sleep Nation.
yeah, where he played the like the TVs on stage and stuff.
Yeah, Bren. Yeah,
Yeah,
because
were you at that show?
I was at that show. Because when you said that, I was like, there's a guy there who had who yeah, by the bar with like the scooter and the ankle thing going on. And so now that
Yes, that was like my first night back out in public where I was like, dude, I don't care anymore. I'm taking this fucking scooter. I'm going, my buddies are in Strike Lightning, and that's two brothers, the guitar player and singer. And I was like, my roommate Nate, who I live with, was down at the show, and I was like, what's it look like? He's like, dude, it's not that packed. You'll be fine. And I was like, fuck it, I'm coming. It was like my first time back out. Like, yeah, like early January.
Yeah, it was like January. It was right about a month ago. Yeah, a little over a month ago.
Yeah. That was like my first time back out after my doctor told me I could bear some weight. And I was out on the knee scooter. That's hysterical.
Yeah, we were so we didn't meet, but we were in the same room. That's wild, because as soon as you said that, because it's like that's a very specific thing to be in like an ankle boot and have like a scooter, and I'm like, you know, and I work in the medical field, so I'm like, man, yeah, that's messed up.
That's
Even,
something you remembered.
yeah. So as soon as you said that, I'm like, well, we're in Nashville and the musicians, but yeah, shout out to the guys of the show. Yeah, they were dope, man. They were really good, and I met the guys in Sleep Nation. Was it like Zachapalooza or Zach Fest or something? That was like a few months back. There's a bunch of different bands.
Okay.
I met those guys, but that is tripped out.
Damn, that's so funny. I went to go see my buddies, like I said, the Strike Lightning guys that opened up the show.
They were
It's
good.
the two brothers, and then that was their first show with the hired drummer and bass player. So it was like, yeah, fuck it, I really want to go see this. And it was just like the most like underground show. I didn't even know that, like who all was playing other than them. And then it was like the guy from Not Your Nails, who I had met previously, where my other roommate, who's now since moved out, Seth, he used to fill in on guitar for Not Your Nails. So I met all those guys and I told them, I was like, bro, how did you wear the space helmet and sing for like 10 minutes? Dude, Shaw, this dude dressed up in like a NASA Halloween costume, like legit, like out of like a David Bowie music video, with a space helmet on, with a visor, and he managed to sing and play while wearing the helmet the whole time.
The whole show?
No, like half the show. He had costume changes, bro.
Oh, I of
That
course.
was his third outfit.
Shout out to Joey and Brandon, Sleep Nation. I'm trying to get them on here, but they're good dudes. But yeah, there's so many great shows in Nashville, but that is so wild because yeah, I was like, I don't, as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if he was at the end because I saw that guy by the bar. That is tripped out. Well,
That's so wild to me. It was like literally my like no one had seen me since my surgery in October.
crazy. That is crazy, man. Well, I'm glad you're on the mend. I'm glad the bone infection's taken care of because that's gnarly. That's some scary stuff. Bone infections are gnarly. So I'm glad the antibiotics and stuff help, man. Because
Dude,
that's great crap.
that became like the whole like I felt like I was on a House episode or something like that. Like all of a sudden I had like six doctors instead of just like an ankle doctor.
Yeah, you're
And thankfully we're in an era though where modern medicine is, for all the crazy stuff that's happened the past few years, I had a tumor when I was 17 that was pretty gnarly and I bled a lot. It was in my nasal cavity, and it was a rare tumor that it's like something out of a horror movie. It grows by attaching itself to blood vessels. So,
oh.
the tumor that I had was attached to my maxillary artery, which is the main one that feeds blood to your face. So, I came home from a basketball practice, and I was a senior in high school, and my nose started bleeding. And you don't really know what to do when you're 17. I like snorted like some water after I got done taking a. I woke up the next morning and it just, by the end of that day, it was coming out like a slow drip from a faucet. It was bright red movie blood. It didn't even look real. And I almost passed out because it freaked me out and found out I had this weird tumor up there. But yeah, they did a LaFort 1 procedure where they sawed underneath my lip and went up here underneath. You
Yeah.
can, my surgery, but you can watch a LaFort 1 procedure on YouTube and it is gnarly. It's gnarly.
I'll
So I'm
bet.
glad I was born in 88, not 58. But yeah, bringing it back to music and everything, man. I think what's cool about you guys, and especially the work that you're doing now, and thanks again so much, dudes, for coming on the pod, is Ryan and Sean. I mean, Ryan, you mentioned being in a band that had success, and Sean, when you were on the first time, we talked about your band and how you guys got to tour with like Ice Nine Kills and Atreyu and Memphis, like. But and now you guys are in a situation where you're doing work with other people, you're collabing together. What's this road been like for you guys? And even going back to that story of Sean, you just reaching out to him, a guy who, like you said, playing Guitar Hero. I just think that's what's really cool about modern technology and having the courage to chase after your dreams and stuff, man.
These with modern technology, you're kind of like not limited to any collab, you can kind of, like I've been in a bunch of bands. I've done how many bands should I have before I should be just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna release whatever music I want to release. Like I don't need to have a solid group of like four dudes that I all live with a within like a certain proximity to just to release music. And yeah, kind of with the internet, I can just kind of make all these ideas come true fairly easily now, And everybody's looking to do other stuff is what I found. Everybody's trying to like just keep writing music and add to their catalogs. So
Well, what's cool for me about it is like you doing what we're doing right now doesn't mean that you can't get in a crappy 40 350 van with the same five guys and
right.
have a band. Like
Though
we're in an age where you don't have to be restricted like Matchbook Romance would have never seen the heights that we saw if we weren't actively really hard working on it full time. And we didn't have all the tools that we have now. Like, we would get like phone calls from our manager and be like, guys, it's time to update like your MySpace top eight.
Yeah,
Like,
right. It's like
it'd be like, it's political. We agreed that we would do it by March 30th to support the April tour. And you're like, oh my God, whatever, dude. Like, I'm sorry.
a
I'm
different ball
trying
game.
to like make music with my homies and enjoy the experience of like the community of making it with people and bringing it to people.
Right.
The argument as to whether or not we need XYZ lined up and this single and all that stuff, I let other smart people make those decisions in my other artistry, in my art. And it worked, but it's not the same game anymore. Like when Matchbook Romance released music and you released music, it's not even the same world.
Yeah, and I think that especially like I caught a lot of tail end of like, oh, you need to be on tour for 9 months out of the year and all that. And I did that like the first handful of years before like COVID. And now coming back to it where like I do tour regularly with a nationally recognized rock band, and it's just a different, it's like that's not going to necessarily sell my records, you know, and the music that I'm making like this, you know.
Yeah. At least you get to be who you want to be. And like
Right.
you can travel touring, playing, as an instrumentalist for hire for someone else and developing relationships with the right promoters, the right local sound engineers, and, the cool people that actually pay attention to music when you come through that city. And like that's how you'll get like authentic, genuine fans is
Oh,
like
totally.
organically like that way.
Yeah. That's
Now you
how
just gotta go out there and play all your music for them.
I know. That's the next step. So for this single Ammo, John, what was it about that, trying to get Ryan to do the bass on this? Because I know you guys teamed up with Shane too, right? Shane did the guitar,
Shane was
Ryan
kind of
did
like,
the bass.
yeah, like, well, we got Ryan on it. The track was already a track basically at that point. And then we got him on it and he did completely redid the whole bass structure of it. And I think it elevated the song a lot. And then that was going to be it. I wasn't going to do anything else on it. And then when I was going back on the solo, I had like some other solo in there that I wasn't really like super stoked on. So I just had Shane hop on it real quick and did that in one, just did it in one take and went on with it. And it ended up really elevating the song. So I thought it was just a cool, like, natural combination of musicians, you know, from all different, like, Shane's kind of from an in between of when, like, Matchbook did their thing. Like, Shane's in between that and, like, what I'm doing, you know. His era, their big was in 2014, so that's like right as I'm starting to like tour and shit like that and start playing local shows, I should say. But yeah, I don't know, it's cool, it's limitless, and I had a good time making it. It's cool that it kind of comes full circle where you start listening to certain bands and then you can write with people from those bands at a certain point.
Yeah, for sure. And Ryan, how cool is that for you, man, to have, younger generation of fans like Sean reach out and hit you up like that, and I think it's cool that guys like yourself who have had success and toured and done those things are accessible to up and coming musicians like Sean.
It's really cool to me, and it feels like the technology obviously makes it like way different. We didn't talk on cell phones the way we do now back when I first got in, but like we got when we signed with Epitaph, Epitaph's a large sponsor of the Warped Tour every year. And with that comes, they get a certain number of spots for Epitaph bands every year. And if you remember, it used to always be like one year Dropkick Murphys will headline, and then next year NOFX will headline. There used to be like the top OG punk bands and kind of alternate years. And we got told, like, you're going on the whole damn tour. We're doing it in a van. It's going to suck. But we literally had the guitar player from Bad Religion looking us in the eye, telling us, I've done it myself. So you're going to survive. Go do it. And we had to do it the OG way. And like things would just like break, man. It's like 118 degrees. Your guitar pick's all melted into one chunk. You have now of a yellow Tortex hockey puck of one. It's one giant yellow guitar pick. And
So
it's like, what do you
you guys
do?
just did that? Was that like your first tours were the Warped Tours, or did you guys do some like a lot of like DIY touring or regional touring
We
before
had never
then?
gone west of Ohio from New York before Warped Tour 2003. And we were doing like regionally into New England as a band. Like we were always playing New York, Connecticut, Jersey, Pennsylvania, like limitedly. But we started going like more Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, Western Pennsylvania. And then we reached a point where when we got signed, they told us like, just stop taking new shows and just literally rehearse all the fucking time. Get jobs that you can have a flexible schedule and make the amount of money that you can to put in the bank as savings and write as many songs as you humanly possibly can before we record your band's first record. And we were like, that sounds like smart idea. Let's do that. Like we signed to Epitaph Records. It was like, it's the Offspring. It's all these like Dropkick Murphys. Like these people knew what they were talking about, and they had real things lined up for us. It was like, you're doing Warped Tour now. We didn't know what the hell to do. We would literally go knock on the door of the bus of the Dropkick Murphys and be like, my bass broke. We don't have guitar tech. And they'd be like, our guitar tech will fix it. Get him a pack of cigarettes. You know, like we quickly learned a lot of things from people that had been doing it for a decade before us. So to pass it on to people doing it a decade later for me just feels natural. And I feel like I'm doing what I was taught.
There's not a lot of that, I will say. There are a lot of people that still try to think that they can gatekeep information. Like, I don't know, you gotta jump through hoops to mess with certain people. I don't know, I've never had to do that really. Even I have natural relationships with people typically, so
And it's funny, like you're like maybe the third or fourth person in the past couple of years to just like cold call message me and be like, hey dude, can we do something together? And I've done like for hire, like I'll just record your bass track. But like yours was like, I recorded something that made you think of the post-chorus differently. And then all of a sudden, we're doing revisions, and like we really collaborated on this song, and it was a lot of fun doing so.
Yeah, it turned out really well, man. And it's cool. It's a cool heartbreak anthem. And it's like there's kind of like some hip hop elements or some rock elements. There's a really good chorus. There's the guitar solo, the bass lines. Like, Sean, did you want to elaborate a little bit too on the because people might not know that, you know, if they're brand new to this and they didn't listen to our first episode, which shame on you all for not. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a
But
long episode. Yep.
Sean's a multi-instrumentalist, but he also sings and raps too. And so, you know, lyrically, what place were you coming from on this one, man? I mean, obviously, I think anybody who listens to it is definitely a heartbreak jam, but do you want to elaborate a little bit on the story behind it?
Yeah, so when I was writing this song, this is It's definitely more like I guess the whole analogy behind ammo is it's like a breakup song where you use the toxic elements of a relationship as your ammo to like move on into a better situation. That's like the overall premise of the song, okay? But yeah, the song came pretty naturally with the like the first demo and like the first couple lines of the song until really I got going with Ryan on it. The song was pretty much there, like what the elements were there. And I wrote it like that summer. I had done a lot of writing in particular. That's probably the time I've written the most was that summer. And that was like either the last track that I wrote out of the batch or like second to last track. But I don't know, sometimes they just flow naturally like that, so you gotta just leave it, not mess with it too much. But I am very happy with how the song came out, and yeah, it was a fun one.
Well, and I think your guys' paths are cool too, because when you're doing work for hire for other people, right? It's kind of similar to, I mean, I'm not a musician, but you're part of a team when you're in a band, right? It's a relationship, and if you're coming in to play somebody else's music, right? Like there's a lot to that, to maintaining relationships. And Ryan, like you mentioned, using that as a platform to get out in front of the people. For somebody like Sean, playing in otherwise, right? Like what's that like when you step into a situation like that, and how has that helped you guys, do collaborations like this in terms of relationships?
I think that when I had seen that Ryan was working on tracks originally was on there was this website that came out a couple years ago that I was on as well called Feature X. And it was like the COVID like collab with an artist platform, which if you don't it doesn't exist anymore. That shit like is out of business. But
Zero,
yeah.
zero.
Big loser right there. I think Kellen Quinn did like 200 tracks and then was on every like metalcore local band song for $800.
It was really geared for front man features. Like
Yeah.
even like my f I know the people that started Feature X and all that stuff, and I've known them. They're Poughkeepsie, New York cats and stuff like that. And I knew going into it that how many people are really looking are be like, I need to go hire some famous bass player who's Featured X got.
I was the guy looking through Feature X like, who does this got? Like, well, and that's kind of where I was like, all right, if people are going on this website and they're like signing up and trying to get work and this and that, it's like how hard, because people like I've had management and I've had like people that are in your ear all the time because they want to be like that. They want their 10% in between you and some other artist to get them on your track. And I was just like, I don't think that it's that unaccept like it's accessible for me just to message them cold and see what they have to say. That's was kind of like what cr the wires that were crossed in my head when I saw this website. And that's kind of like, and then I was able to make these songs,
It's funny, I remember when you messaged me, I looked at it and I was like, mutual friends, Jen Curtis.
Jen Curtis, I
And
toured with Jen Curtis.
yeah, Jen's a fantastic photographer. I've known her since before she ever had a national print and alternative press and all that. Like when she was like first getting into the game, just because we're both from New York. And she's into that alternative press, Fuse, Warped Tour community of bands, and everyone knows everyone. And then I was like, Jen, you know this kid? And she was like, oh, Sean's the man. And I was like, all right, I'll work with him. I
That's good.
was like, that's enough for me. Jen Curtis said yes.
I was on tour with Jen and my now fiance is that's where I met her. She was our photographer on that tour.
Yeah,
Nice. Jen was the photographer for Ice Nine Kills, and then yeah, since then, like, Jen's got work for my fiance on different tours here and there, and it's all,
Yeah.
everybody knows everybody, so it's all
It's
small.
really funny, like, how many things have just come into my lap, like, not even playing bass. I've
Right.
gotten like phone calls being like, listen, can you please tour manage my band that I'm managing? They're doing Warped Tour and they don't know what they're doing. And it's like, now I'm lifelong friends with everyone that was ever in Assuming We Survive back in 2016. Because like I was their tour manager and a sprinter that wouldn't stop breaking down on Warped Tour. We had bunks, but man, was it budget. And it belonged to Joey Bradford from The Used. And they were on the tour, and he would come check on it every day, like a proud guy. And I'd be
Demonstrator.
like, this thing sucks.
That's awesome. Well,
Dude,
those
that's
long
freaking
national
cool.
tours are hard. There's just no easy way to do them.
If you're in a Mercedes Sprinter and something breaks that's like Mercedes proprietary,
Yeah, it's so
it
expensive.
becomes. Like, where's Waldo? Like a million.
Yeah, especially in like
It's like trying to find an oil filter that
Eastern
can't
Nebraska.
fall.
How do
Let me find the Mercedes L500 filters. Yeah, right.
didn't even think about that. Yeah, if you have something like that's like a fancier, that is wild, man.
It's like a diesel engine giant sprinter. It's like the
Yeah, that's
biggest
why they
sprinter
do
they
them.
make. And it basically like I had to call and like order out. It reached a point where we had a day off, and right near the Fat Tire Brewery in Fort Collins, Colorado, there was a Mercedes dealer, and I called that dealership and I ordered a bunch of filters, and we went and picked up the filters and went on a brewery tour after on our day off.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, and that life, I think, right, for people who aren't in music, you know, or people who have more of a during the day for work and survival, right? They have a traditional kind of 9 to 5, like I have. You know, there's kind of like that Peter Pan element to it, where it's like, hey, man, like you're doing your thing, you're having fun, but people don't realize the grind that is too, where it's like from, you know, 6 p.m. or whatever, you know, after sound check to whenever, that's like when everything's going in. But then before that, there's loading in, there's loading out, there's food, there's a bunch of dudes farting, and you know what I mean, like stuff's breaking down. Like it's a grind. You know, you get to do what you love, but I guess like with anything else, there's positives and negatives to it, you know.
Totally.
And how about this? Like when I was doing it in a van and trailer before we had a bus, this did not tell you how to get from point A to point B.
Printing out the map quest.
Bro, we were on a yellow card tour and it was the Ocean Avenue tour, and all the venues got upsized. Like a
Yeah.
week into the tour, they flew to New York, they played TRL. The single immediately went like through the roof. And we had to change every venue. We had to like book a hotel
Bad.
and just run their printer out of ink in the business center. Be like, well, we need all new MapQuest directions,
Yeah.
which that's all fine and good if you follow the directions. You're one merch guy having to pee away from getting lost in Arkansas. And then you have to like a giant atlas the size of the.
Yeah.
But you could still get lost when I used to have to drive.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to always have had GPS. I think that's why I thought it was so easy to tour when I was like younger. It's like I was oblivious to it because I was like, yeah, I got a fucking cell phone.
Yeah, dude.
It's so funny. Like, I feel like we're not really that far off in eras, but you know.
I feel like the world stood pretty still from like post World War II right up
Yeah.
until like Lars Ulrich first Napster.
Right.
And then it
Oh,
all
actually. Yeah, I was trying to download a Metallica album, and that's how I found Matchbook Romance. That's what I meant to say.
Well, dudes, to bring this one home, thanks again so much, Sean and Ryan, for taking the time, man. Like, we got to do a part two. I feel like too, just of just tour stories and experiences over the years, man. Because I'm sure you guys got a lot of them, but just you guys talked about how you linked up and putting out ammo. Once again, everybody go stream that. But just kind of on the theme of the show of perseverance in moving forward. You know, obviously it takes a lot of guts to do what you guys do. It takes a lot of determination, a lot of self-belief. And like anybody, right? There's ups and downs within that. What's something central to the success that you guys have found in your individual careers that you feel like is beneficial advice to share with somebody out there who maybe has some like self-doubt issues or anxiety issues, or maybe they're like, hey, you know, I'm doing well in my career. But you know, the 9 to 5 isn't really what's fulfilling me. It's the music that I get to do outside of work, or this other creative pursuit that I get outside of work. What advice would you give to people who maybe want to make that leap, or just, you know, in general, you know, if they're struggling?
I
I would
think
say
that
one thing that's important is a lot of people try to softly enter the world and keep their job. And they think that they'll become this moment where they've reached enough success where they're monetizing enough to quit their day job. But for me, I've seen a lot of friends that are younger than me. They won't monetize enough until they just jump in the deep end of the pool. You can't just like dip your toe in. You have to go for it. If you want it to be what you do for a living, at least, and you want to be like, yes, I succeed. I make all my money off of some avenue of playing music live or releasing music. You have to just go for it, man. Like, it's a hard commitment level, because you're like, all right, well, what if I jump in the deep end and I can't swim? Is someone going to save me? And, you know, can I get myself back to shallow water? And it just seems like it's hard for me, because I genuinely didn't think you could even get a band signed when I was 19. 1999. Going to college, being like, we're not going to get signed. Whatever, it's cool. I have a band. It's something I wanted, but the world is so different now. And like, you can do anything. Like, friggin', what's the rapper? What's it? Something Mike, Killer Mike, or whatever. The guy that just got arrested for killing people or something at the Grammys after winning 3 Grammys.
Yeah, right.
He just got in his 40s. Like, it doesn't matter when you're gonna do it.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Jelly Roll is doing right now. I think that's a good example of like a older, like he was 39 years old and he's nominated for Best New Artist. He didn't win, but he had a banger record.
I don't think he would have got there if he was like, well, let's just kind of release this and let me keep my day job.
Yeah,
He
totally.
had to go for it.
Gotta be all in with this. Yeah, people pick up on it, and people will be able to tell, like, from your music if you're not all in.
Yeah, it's I know a lot of people that are super successful that will do cool things, but won't sustain a lot of it because they won't go all in.
Right. And I think that, yeah, too, it's really hard for a lot of people to monetize themselves. If they think like they can just play and sort of be like the guitarist in the behind the curtain type of approach to it, but it's just really gotta be all in.
It's so wild with the monetization, because like my goals are different now at this point. Like I still make royalties off Matchbook that I know would make certain people that are trying so hard jealous because I'm not getting that level of monetization. But like at this point, I really just love performing and creating music, and like I make most of my money off of playing corporate gigs at this point. for like the past 5 years working for a giant corporation, making people's lives happen, though. Like, you should see what it's like when some 76-year-old woman loses her marbles drunk on vacation and is dancing for your band. It's, you know, it's only stupid and has been behavior if you mentalize it like that. I know that I just made that woman's entire year because she had the best time on vacation. I know that that's what provides me having the best time in my life playing music. And like, it's really freaking fun. I get to play songs that I love. Like, you go out and high on for hire for people, Sean, you know, hey, I'll come play bass for you. No problem. 'Cause it, I'd rather make my money surrounded with music than make just a little bit off of music and hate the other 80% of my life.
Yeah, the environment that you put yourself in definitely dictates it because, yeah, you have to, if you're not around it every day and you're like dipping your toes in on the weekend warrior type of mentality, like,
Yep.
yeah, it's you gotta, you feel good when you're all in.
I feel like you end up finding people naturally, like you and I found each other, like
Right.
where you end up with a security network of people that are also in the deep end with you.
That's why everybody knows everybody because we're all in
We're
it.
all in that shit together, man. It's like I'm still getting memes from Shiprocked of like the side of the boat all keyed up, or not keyed up, but it's like, look, someone's ex came all the way to Jamaica to key the ship. It's like,
Yeah, you,
yeah.
I won't stop seeing that from that community for until the next Shiprock, you know.
And it's funny because I've never done any of those cruises with the rock community cruises because I've been doing like on your cruise ship you were just on, there was probably like a jazz trio, a pianist, a classical group, a pop cover band, and they all got paid to do nothing because you guys played every one of their stages. And they literally got paid to just do nothing but go to the beach, and all they could do was laugh because they're in Jamaica and they can't get back on the ship that they live on.
Right. It's
Like, you
crazy.
guys were there for a few days. Imagine being set up like your bedroom is your recording studio on a cruise ship,
Oh,
and you're
yeah.
like, you're ready to cook, you got fire ideas, and then you show back up and it's like, nope, not today. Can't
Crazy.
get on the ship.
Yeah, that was wild. They did bring everybody KFC in this big van.
It's
That's all right, guys. It's all right. These guys showed up
laboratory
yesterday.
chicken. Shut up.
Did.
They didn't even bring you like authentic Jamaican food.
Hell
They brought
no.
you
Dude,
KFC.
I didn't. I seen it, and there are photos. If I find one, I'll send it to you, Mike.
Oh my
Send it to you too,
God.
Ryan. But the yeah, it was these guys got out, and they were all dressed real nice at this van, and they all had KFC, and they presented everybody a bucket of KFC. Sorry for sitting out here for 8 hours in your swimsuit, cold.
Oh God, I didn't even think about
Yeah,
that.
these people went to the
Like
beach, dude.
people just getting off like in like a tank top, shorts, flip-flops with like a cinch sack
Yeah,
backpack. And
exactly.
then like, nah, fuck you, the sun's going down. You're in Jamaica.
Hey, we did go back for him. We didn't make it back eventually.
No man left behind.
Dude, that almost sounds like I don't even know, like a something out of like a Farrelly Brothers movie or something, like the ship like crashes and like here's your KFC. Here's your bucket of chicken.
It's like Spinal Tap meets Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad, Sean, that everything's cool. You live to tell the tale. And yeah, dudes, R Ryan, Sean, this has been awesome, man. Like, I could talk all day with you guys. I think it's hilarious, Ryan, that we were in the same place like a month ago and just you telling me the story about your foot. I'm like, oh my God, like how many people would there be? And he's in Nashville and we were at the
What's
same place. That's a
really
trip.
funny is I wanted to change this up to 5 p.m. instead of 6 p.m. so that I can also go see Strike Lightning tonight at Dark Matter if you're
Yeah.
not doing anything. They're playing in East Nashville tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well,
Yeah.
I can't make it tonight because I've got this stuff to do, and then I'm getting up at 5 to go into work tomorrow. A rock hit my car. It's 4 months old. A dumpster truck with all the construction hit my hood and my windshield. So normally I go into work Monday through Thursday and work from home on Fridays, but this week it was the opposite because I had to get everything situated Monday. It happens. It could have been worse, but it's like the first new car I've had in 4 months in. It's like a big old rock. But
It's
no,
hot
the
open. Watch your tires, man.
they're dupe. They're dope. The singer, the guitar player, I mean, the band was sick, but yeah, those guys can rip, man. So yeah, put a good word in for me if they ever want to come on the show. Shameless plug, but no, that was a great time, and it's been great talking with you guys, man. For people who aren't aware of you and the work that you're doing, I'll put up the links in the podcast description, but let them know where they can find you out there.
Hell yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Fake Fitz, on TikTok at The Sean Fitz, and Sean Fitz on all the streaming platforms.
I've keep it pretty simple with Instagram, just RK plays bass because my last name's impossible to spell. I'm pretty sure my YouTube is just RK play bass, but I don't really put much on that. I kind of just dabbled with it when I was bored on the pandemic for a little bit. But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean you can find Matchbook Romance on all the streaming platforms, just where it's same place you can find Ammo at.
Yes, sir.
Sweet. Well, I'll let you guys go enjoy the rest of your night, but thanks again so much for the time, and definitely keep in touch, fellas. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, dude,
Absolutely.
absolutely. My pleasure, man. All
Good chatting, Ryan. All
right, see you guys. Thank you.
right, peace out,
right.
y'all.
Later.
All righty dighty, there you have it. That was my conversation with Sean Fitz and Ryan Kinley. Make sure you go follow these guys on Instagram at Fake Fitz, and that is spelled FITZ. And you can follow Ryan at RK Plays Bass. The links to all of their stuff will be in the podcast description for this episode. So just scroll down to the bottom of that podcast description, hit those links, and go follow and support John and Ryan. Once again, Ammo, like I mentioned at the jump, and like we just talked about in the conversation, it is out now wherever you get your music. It's from Sean Fitz featuring Shane Gann and the aforementioned Ryan Kinley. Great song, great kind of heartbreak anthem. It's got some hip hop elements, it's got some rock and roll elements. Came together really nicely, and so did this conversation, man. So I just want to say once again to Sean and Ryan, dudes, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast. Appreciate the kind words and support and advice that you guys shared with me, even after we officially wrapped up about this show and, trying to reach more people. It's always cool when you connect with like-minded creators out there. And even though I'm not a musician, and I shouldn't beat myself up about that, I preface a lot when I say stuff. It's like, well, yeah, dude, yeah. But I love music, and so it's really cool to connect with guys who are out there doing it. Somebody like Ryan, who's, a little bit older than Sean and has had success, like I said, with the aforementioned Matchbook Romance, but has also gone on to be a professional working musician and work on cruise ships and gets to meet all these different people, go to cool parts of the world. That's a unique life experience that a lot of people who work a more traditional 9 to 5, don't get to experience. People like myself, where you go to a building, 4 or 5 days a week, you do your thing, and then your time outside of that is, like me doing this podcast or whatever else. So I really admire people who are able to take, something that they love, like Ryan, and turn it into a career. And again, it was just so hilarious that, as we were talking during that conversation, as you guys just heard, we were at the same show, back in the beginning of January, and when he mentioned his foot and riding around the scooter, I'm like, that's kind of a unique thing. And I literally saw that guy at that show, and then it come to find out it was him. So it's cool, and it's been fun to meet people like him, the guys in Sleep Nation, who I'm hoping to get on the podcast. We'll make it happen. They're busy dudes as well, but I've been able to connect with some cool local people in the Nashville music scene, and there's so much talent here, obviously. But even beyond the stuff that people are hearing, with like mainstream country and all the stuff that's on the radio, man, there's so many awesome like indie artists and rock and metal artists and hip hop artists. Like, I feel really, again, grateful just to be living in a city where so much of that is happening, especially as somebody who loves music and music being such a life's blood for me in my life, man. And then, like I said, a guy like Sean, who's chasing his dreams, has made a ton of music on his own, is getting to record with really cool people. And again, through a game like Guitar Hero, man, all these artists that inspired him musically, and then he's able to connect with one of them who he heard on that video game and Ryan and make a song with him. Like, that's so freaking cool, man, to go from like, wow, this is somebody that I heard on a video game, and now I'm making art with him. So it's really dope, man. So, and again, like I said, for Sean at his age to already reached the heights that he's reaching, and he's continuing to go for, touring with Otherwise, getting a chance to connect with those fans and get in front of those folks and have that be an opportunity as well, maybe to put them on to what he's doing as a solo artist and with these songs that he's collaborating with other people with. It was just really cool, man. So I really respect what these dudes are doing. And yeah, man, it was great to get him on the show. So once again, make sure you go follow Sean at Fake Fits. Go follow Ryan at RK Plays Bass. The links are in the podcast description. Run up the numbers on Ammo. And if you liked what you heard, man, I hate begging for this stuff. But again, your boy's trying to grow over here. But if you did enjoy the podcast, and if either Sean and or Ryan brought you here and you're a first time listener, once again, like I said at the jump, welcome aboard the pirate ship. But if you did like what you heard, please take the time to tell a friend to tell a friend. Like and subscribe, share so you don't miss a future episodes. But also, when you guys take the time to leave a rating and review, whether it's on Apple or whether it's on Spotify, those things go a long way in helping the conversations get out to more people. And ultimately, that's what I want, man. I feel really blessed to be in a position where I can put people on to up and coming artists like Sean, or people like Ryan who have been around for a while in the music industry, but get to reintroduce himself in front of new audiences with collaborations like this with Sean. I feel really blessed to be in this position where I can help put people onto music that maybe they weren't aware of before, or just inspiring conversations that encourage them to chase down their dreams in their lives and push through fear and anxiety and that darkness that all of us have in whatever way that manifests. You know what I mean? And get out of our own ways and chase our dreams, man. So if you enjoyed it, taking the time to do any of those things would really be a big help. And once again, man, I just want to say thank you to all of you who check out the show, man. This has been a fun ride these past few years. This show has really been I'm trying to think of the right word to use. It's been a comfort place for me, man. It's been as I sit here once again in my dining room slash studio, in my apartment. This is something. This is a creative outlet for me that gives me the opportunity to scratch that itch when it comes to music and connecting with people in a positive way. I definitely consider myself an extroverted introvert. I think people that know me well, whether it's people that work with me or friends and family, they would probably disagree with the introverted thing because I feel like I can gab with the best of them. But the truth is, I really prefer one-on-one interactions or obviously most of the shows that I'm doing are over the internet, but when you get with individuals, I feel like you learn more. I'm not a big fan of like really big groups of people. I think people act differently when they're around a lot of people, and also you don't get a chance to really get to know people. It's kind of surface level stuff. So doing stuff like this, I'm a curious dude, man. I'm interested in learning about people and different cultures and different backgrounds and different walks of life, and I'll talk to with anybody about music. And so I feel really fortunate that I've been able to kind of create this little online vehicle for myself where I get to feed all these interests selfishly, but ultimately, I get to share positive conversations with people that I really do hope, and I hope that doesn't sound self-righteous, but that I really hope connect with people in a positive way and inspire them. If there's anything that I want to leave behind, man, and I'm going to wrap things up on this, it's just a legacy of being a good dude, being a kind person, being a generous person, and hopefully I made you laugh or smile when you interacted with me, and hopefully long after I'm gone, if there's something that you see or you smell or my name comes up, I really hope that the people who knew me, whether it was for a few years or for a few minutes or for my whole life, I hope they look back on their time with me and smile or laugh, man. You know, it's not about getting people to like you. It's just about being a good person, you know, and living life with humility and with grace and, you know, being courageous to take those leaps of faith. And I'm a work in progress, but when I reflect on these last few years, especially the last three in particular, man, and the things that have occurred in that time, and I don't say that as a martyr because I'm not coming from that perspective, but it's been gnarly at times, man. And I couldn't have gotten to where I am today without all of you, without my inner circle, and without music and therapy and exercise and you know, something to look forward to, man. And that's really what this is for me. It's something to look forward to, and I look forward to every episode. And I look forward to hearing about all of you chasing your dreams too, man. So on that note, I'm going to officially wrap things up. Keep the faith and be kind to one another. Courtesy of Sean and Ryan, here is the single Ammo featuring Shane Gann as well. Peace.
I'm just working on me. I guess we're over it. You play stupid by yourself. Now I'm sobering. Got too many thoughts on my mind. All the comments you've been leaving me undefined. Ready up on prime, motherfucker blind. Y'all be saying too much shit, losing all the time. Put my heart into and it's over. I fucked it all up bad with another. Oh, she didn't come back, it's my worst low. Aaron and I waiting at the metro. She loved me for a minute, it's her ammo. It's her ammo, it's her ammo. It's her ammo, it's her ammo. Pick your words. Nothing gonna stop you but the hearse. Riding in the coupe and then we swerved. You be smoking blunts, I'm smoking herb. Got the nerve. Dealing with the shit until it. Playing with yourself, you think you scored. You just keep on doing it cause you're bored. Put my heart into and it's over. I fucked it all up bad with another. Oh, she didn't come back, it's my worst low. Aaron and I waiting at the metro. She loved me for a minute, it's her ammo. It's her ammo, it's her ammo. She didn't come back, it's my worst low. Aaron and I waiting at the metro. She loved me for a minute, it's her ammo. It's her ammo, it's her ammo. It's her ammo, it's her ammo. It's her ammo.